You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest draft news and photos and videos and more from the team. Like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. Nick and Nathan on a Football Tuesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Interesting check-ins from the various people that we swung around the league with. I'll tell you this much. I'm going to revise my opinion. Yesterday, I know we played the sound of the young man, the young boy from Carolina who was upset with Steve Smith being released. I've got a backstory today that has now changed my opinion.
No, don't. I don't even want to hear it. After the show yesterday, you were like crushing that kid for a long time.
And not so much the kid, but the
parent. You give the dad grief. Everybody was under siege.
Here's the revised.
I couldn't believe it. I just wanted to hug the kid. Vic's like, get tough, young man. Your father's a disgrace.
No, excuse me. It's not that bad. Here's what I found out.
Okay.
There was an actual connection with Steve Smith. The kid knew Steve's son and actually somehow had a connection with Steve Smith that he had met him and at the kid, and it was a much more personal level than just liking him as a fan. This kid was reacting to his life now being affected by losing a friend.
And Steve Smith, I understand, reached back out to this kid.
He's reaching back out. Yeah. I guess he's going to hook him up with, heard this on Mike and Mike this morning because that's where Steve Smith appeared, hook the kid up with gear from Carolina because he says he's always going to be a Panther, but also his new team, the Baltimore Ravens, and try to get it all aboard. So I've come around now to understand that this kid lost a friend. Lost. He's going to still be connected with him, right, but not in the same town. And that kid was Steve's son. I think his name's Boston, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
All right.
So I feel better about that. I'm so sorry. So I apologize to his family. I'll send him some Browns gear.
What you've done ties in so well to the segment that's coming up because you put yourself just then after further review and changed your tune. So let's bring in our great producer, Jason Gibbs, to play a little after further review ourselves.
We're
doing it later.
We're going to do it a little later.
Oh, we will do it later.
Yes.
Well, all right then. We will do it later. But I like that you can. That's good to hear. You're such a nice guy. You're so loving and warm. And I feel like
I kind of am.
But you were crushing on the Ute. The Ute of the Panthers was not getting any love from you there. Interesting.
It is interesting. And the other interesting situation story, Joe Stasniak was talking about Jim Irsay. The owners' meetings are coming up this week in Florida, and there's going to be a lot of discussion in Orlando about that, obviously. But one of the big issues that has to be addressed by Commissioner Goodell now is avoiding the double standard. I mean, he's been, the disciplined commissioner. He's come down very hard on players who have transgressed with the law and so forth, and suspensions and whatnot through his time as commissioner. Now he's in this awkward position where one of his bosses, that's when he works for the 32 owners of this league, and one of them has done the same type of thing, or at least is in that bad mode right now, that place. How do you address that? And is suspension fine? There's got to be some punitive reaction to this because there's a standard that he wants set by all team employees, us included. Everybody is held, and he's saying people in ownership level, executive level, should be held to the highest standard of all.
As well they should. Yeah. Yes, I think that's very fair. And you have to wonder what the penalties will be if it does turn out to be the big felony. Is that going to impact the team in terms of draft picks? He brought up the Super Bowl. That's massive business implications for not just Jim Irsay, not just for the Colts, but and when you take it to that level about the Super Bowl location, that's massive for the people and the business owners in the city of Indianapolis. So a big story, certainly one that bears watching. Earlier we asked you to call us and tweet us about what you feel are the biggest needs for this Cleveland Browns team, assuming that Andrew Hawkins comes in. And I'll tell you what, we got quite a few responses, and they're all pretty much along the same line. As Kona 2124 cornerback. A lot of people want another cornerback out there. A lot of people also want to get another offensive lineman, specifically a guard. And I think that those were kind of the two things that people have been looking at. Taking quarterback out of it. We got, you know, some people said quarterback hands down, quarterback by a landslide, keep it green, Lucas Voss, and they're correct. But a lot of people taking those out, as Cohen goes, Ham says, second quarterback, cornerback, and a guard. That's what this team needs to get after. Doug Pattison says, offensive line, we can do that in the draft. Another cornerback I'd like to see in free agency and a number two receiver in the draft. And I think we're all kind of on the same page that it really is about a corner, a guard, and a wide receiver,
right,
obviously with quarterback being the big one. And I think this team, given the way they structured that Ben Tate contract, that says to me they're going to be drafting another running back.
Yeah, I think so too, because they have the leeway to do that. The hope is that Tate is going to be the primary guy, but the reality in football, too, is that you have multiple guys, and you can have multiple primary guys for that matter. And I think the way this running game is designed, it's a system-specific running game. It's a running game where the players thrive in the system, and yes, you can talk about building your team around the players you have, but I think you can easily say that if you've got the kind of running game that Kyle Shanahan's going to have, you got to know the right,
in the past,
and that he's had production in, that there are certain players that will thrive in it, and they're the ones who have those good instincts to know how to make that cut. So you've got a known quantity in Tate. I think you're going to find that other quality in the draft, or you hope so. But every one of these responses that we've seen on Twitter about these other positions that need to be hit in one form or another, they make sense. The quarterback thing, and I want to clarify this, the quarterback thing isn't unimportant. It's just that, do you have to dive into it in the ways that maybe we thought a month ago, that you dive into it with the idea that you've got to nail it with your franchise player this year, this offseason, this draft. And maybe they still will come to that conclusion, but I don't know that you have to force it, and nor do you have to think that whoever that guy you draft is has got to, quote, save your team in 2014.
Correct.
Would you go along
now,
with
it would be nice to be able to get a quarterback who can do that. And I think, listen, Brian Hoyer, with the weapons we're talking about, and we're going to talk with Jeff Hobson from the Cincinnati Bengals in just a few minutes about getting Andrew Hawkins, what he'll bring if the Bengals don't decide to match him. Hopefully he'll give us the latest on the Bengals' thought process about that. The quarterback's going to have weapons. Matt Schaub's put up big numbers in the past. Yeah. Even last year, John McClain yesterday from the Houston Chronicle talked about it and said he's better than the credit people are giving him. This offense is going to have weapons. It's going to be able to put up numbers, but I think the key is you're going to want a quarterback, not necessarily a game manager, but what Russell Wilson does in Seattle. Russell Wilson, if you take him out of Seattle and say throw him on the Jets, I don't know how good he does in that scenario, but you take Russell Wilson on a team with a great defense, with a great running game, with some mobility, the opportunity to make some plays when he needs to, but take care of the ball and do what he's told to do first and foremost, I think is really one of the reasons he's so successful, and that's what I think this Browns team is going to want. And where they get that, I think, could be a combination of a veteran and either the early pick we talked about, but it seems now that maybe it's not going to be that early pick from the Cleveland Browns.
It might not be. We're going to talk about Andrew Hawkins could be joining this Browns team if the Bengals do not match the offer that the Browns have given him as a transition tagged player. And the Bengals have until midnight to decide what to do with that. In the meantime, we're going to talk about Andrew Hawkins and maybe some other NFL topics with our good friend Jeff Hobson, who covers the Bengals for Bengals.com, the team's official website. That is coming up next with Vic Carucci, with Nathan Zagura. Megan Rock is here, Jason Gibbs producing. It is Cleveland Browns Daily, and we are driven by Liberty Ford.